Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But these days, I don't drive to work, so I do my recordings on my walks and in my neighborhoods and hang around my house. We are shut down for coronavirus, and it seems that's going to be the story for the rest of the school year for most schools across the United States. So instead of doing weekly podcasts on Monday, driving back from work as a high school instructional coach, I do coaching around the house as a teacher and as like a PD guy through my building, and I record these podcasts every day. So we've upped our production schedule from the weekly to the daily, given the best of what we can find on the web about ways to make our classes more engaging, more exciting, more meaningful in a time where distance learning is sort of the new norm for everybody. I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. And this week's entire run of podcasts have all been about Netflix-style programming and making our classes like can't-miss television. We talked about Tiger King on Monday as our jumping-off point, and then we gradually talked about the production schedule, how to like make it appealing, sexy on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we talked about board game-style teaching and the things that make our classes fun and exciting, as if we were rolling out a brand-new board game right off the shelf each week. And I think we're talking about stupid frickin' packets, but they're not stupid, and they're not packets. They're interactive packets. We'll get to that in a second. First things first, though, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe or like or leave a comment. Like I said, new episodes on your favorite podcasting app, and it helps other people find it. So awesome. Thanks for that. If you're listening, I appreciate it. If you want to talk further, I'm on the Twitter machine at Meehan, E-D-U. That's Meehan like my last name. And M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy. And E-D-U like teaching. I love teaching and I like talking teaching, and I appreciate anybody who's listening and wants to keep talking teaching every day on the internet. I don't pretend to be the expert. I pretend to be a guy who's just trying to be well-informed. And so I'm not a doctor. I just play one on television. So yeah, let's connect on Twitter and talk about your classes and your experiences here in the shutdown. And I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. I wrote a book called The Adrenaline Rush. And so my website, I have templates and tools. I just launched a whole thing for distance learning there. Feel free to check it out. I try to give as much of myself away for free as I can to help teachers in these times where we just need like instructional coaching, right? Like we need pros. Only about 10% of teachers in the United States are on Twitter. And I don't know if that's a real number, but it feels like maybe that's a real number. There's something like 4 million educators in the United States. I can't believe that there are that many on the Twitter machine, though it would be cool if there were. So let's hang out, let's connect, and let's steal each other's ideas and get better. So yeah, take stuff, do stuff, and let's rock and roll with it. And today I'm going to talk about taking and adapting things, because yesterday I talked about board game-inspired teaching and how, like, in your own house, let's just, if you are catching up today and you didn't hear yesterday's, that's no problem, we'll just catch you up as if today is brand new. In your own house, maybe during this coronavirus shutdown, you've had a chance to go into that closet in your family room or your den or your bedroom and pull Monopoly off the shelf, right? Sit down for a family game night. And maybe not Monopoly is a bad game because you actually want to enjoy yourselves, but checkers, Monopoly, Clue, Guess Who, Connect Four, whatever your game du jour is. What's cool about board games is if you've done it like my family does it, you take the instructions and you like either tape them to or staple them to the inside of the box so they never get lost. And so every time you open the box up, with a quick refresher, you're right back to playing Clue just like you played it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, right? A game of Candyland. You might forget a little bit about how to set the game up, but it takes 4 seconds to do a cursory glance over that. And like, wait, is it 4 cards apiece, 3 cards apiece, whatever that looks like? And very quickly, you're right back in it. The beauty of this is that in your closet, if your closet is Marie Kondo'd, well-organized, you can just stack them, right? So you have your Monopoly, you have your Clue, you have your Candyland, you have your Guess Who, you have, Don't Wake Daddy or whatever your game of choice is. You reach in, you grab the box, you pull the box out. The instructions are right there to pick you right up where you left off. And all those pieces fit inside of it. And it makes sense. Parcheesi is nice because it sort of seals up and locks the side of it. If a game like backgammon, right? Your little briefcase, or just all the pieces sit inside. The dice, the pawns, the pieces. And the beauty is, with a very quick cursory glance, that game, that activity, is now springs to life. You just open the box and you're ready to go. You put the pieces where you're supposed to be. You give each person their number of tokens or number of cards or papers, and you're off to the races. And that's awesome. And whether it's a rainy day, whether it's summer, whether you're trying to stay up late till wait till midnight where the ball drops and it's New Year's, you and your brother or sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, your mom or dad or cousins, you can make a game happen pretty quickly. And those games are great because you, having played it before, can get right back into the swing of it. And even people who haven't played can very quickly get caught up because everything is right there in the box, right? What does that have to do with lesson planning? Well, all this week we're talking about the idea of lesson plans that feel like Netflix, creating a immersive world that feels like binge-worthy television. And an example, like Tiger King is the latest buzz on Netflix. Nobody cares about tigers 3 weeks ago. There is more people with bad tiger tattoos in the United States than there are tigers in the wild, which is a crazy statistic. But there's only like 4,000 tigers in the world still alive in the wild. Yet, we released this show about big cats and the people who keep them, and the world is glued to it. Like, millions of people can't stop talking about tigers and Tiger King. And they're not actually talking about the animal conservation part of it, which is such a small piece to what should be the main event of this show. Instead of talking about these crazy, colorful personalities of Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin, and whether or not these, you know, hillbillies or these rednecks or these, you know, people who are dealing with drug addictions or missing limbs or, you know, weird cults have tried to kill each other or tried to kill their spouses. And there's a lot of things going on there. There's these subplots of drugs and sex and violence. Okay, fine. But the tigers take a back seat and the world is glued to, like, Jerry Springer-style trash television. Can't stop watching it. And for all of 7 episodes, you are tuning in, seeing what happens next and what happens next and what happens next. If this were a board game, the theme of this board game would be like trailer park style zoos, right? Like Mousetrap, the theme of that game is a very elaborate Rube Goldberg style machine to try to catch a mouse with the cheese. The theme of the game Clue is a murder mystery in a parlor or in a billiard room or in a hall or in a kitchen, right? The theme of Monopoly is you're at the boardwalk. Now, you may never in your life, maybe you live in the middle of Oklahoma, you don't vacation at the boardwalk. But for a moment, when you open that box, you're transported to the world of like 19-teens, 1920s Atlantic City right there. And you're seeing all the names of these streets that fit in this boardwalk style town. And you're trying to build houses and hotels with the explicit purpose of ripping off everyone else who would ever think to stay on your properties to become the person who owns the Monopoly. Okay, fine. Tiger King does the same thing. You have no vested interest in hotel buying in real life when you play when you're not playing Monopoly. But for the time you get there, you open the box, you take the pieces out, and you are playing a big money, high roller, big spender, trying to take advantage of the laws and the properties that come your way. So you ultimately can become the tycoon who runs the most successful property run there on the boardwalk area. Well, if Tiger King can get us to care about tigers, and you don't, when you leave there, actually care about tigers, though you should because they're amazing. And Monopoly can get you to care about buying hotels and houses on a boardwalk, which you might not in real life ever think to improve houses or hotels. You might not have enough money. Like a good millennial like me, you'll never actually own a house, right? You'll have a chance to just rent one. I look at all these things and I say, well, darn it, if they can do this limited run, take it off the shelf, plug and play, ready to go, learn about tigers, learn about boardwalks. It's a light bit of learning, but could we do the same thing with interactive learning experiences that are best delivered through distance learning? And I'm going to give an example of it here. Yesterday, I talked about the awesome board game style templates that I've seen from Amanda Sandoval. If you have not had a chance to check out Amanda Sandoval, her Twitter handle, I think, is History Sandoval. It is amazing. It's beautiful. She has so many really cool templates she pushes out online. She teaches out of California and she teaches social studies. And very quickly, the work that she does is immediately accessible and easy to adapt for so many content areas. But what I talked about is you get a lesson plan from her, and it's a weekly map of here's what we're going to do from step 1 all the way to step 20. And it's a series of like almost steps like a Candyland board, like a zigzagging left to right, you know, like a snake. And each of these squares will tell you the next thing you have to do. But instead of going to the Gumdrop Forest or Lollipop Lane, you're turning in a Google form, or you're watching this linked video, or you're turning something in on the electronic quizzes or some sort of submission to the LMS. That's helpful. And it's presented with this visual cohesion that there's a theme to it. I mentioned yesterday, maybe the theme is at Niagara Falls and you're learning all about the waterfalls, right? Or the theme is haunted houses and you're learning all about like the tales of Edgar Allan Poe or something like that. But to take it the next step further, if you haven't had a chance to see her stuff online, teachers have started to, and Amanda is a great example, she does it as well, taking their interactive packets and springing them from the same thing. So what they're doing is creating a Google Slides document that the first page of the slide doc is that game board look. And we'll use Monopoly as our reference point from this point forward, because most of us have played Monopoly, even though it's a really bad game. In the theme of the boardwalk, it's like, welcome to the boardwalk. Today you're going to explore the boardwalk, walking around all these different properties. The greens, the yellows, the reds, the browns, ultimately the blues. Want to find your way, make your money? Fine. For every place you land on, there's an activity or a thing. So when you land on Kentucky Avenue, hypothetically, like reds, right? Maybe there, because red is color-coded, you have to watch a YouTube video. Or when you get to the yellows, instead of Marvin Gardens, now you have to, like, do an ed puzzle related to, I don't know, whatever your content is. Fine, fine, fine. Ultimately, building your way to the greens, where, oh, greens are the same color as the Flipgrid icon. You have to record a short video. And ultimately, finishing up in the blues, where you have something related to, I don't know, the Boardwalk or Park Place. And maybe with that blue, that's the color of your school's learning management software or an online quiz that you've linked to, whatever it is. So 4 or 5 or 10 challenges, whatever the course of the week is, boom, 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 boom. And that game board style layout lets you know, in one-stop shop, you're looking at everything with a high-level dashboard. Awesome. So when you're done with the first and the purples, you move to the light blues. When you're done the light blues, you move to the purple, I guess they're like the magentas, then to the oranges, then to the reds, the yellows, the greens, and blues. And it's pretty straightforward because that's easy. The reward for the correct answer is harder questions, right? You get to level up and work on the things that are, quote, worth more money if it were Monopoly. Fine, fine, fine. That's one slide. But then the rest of this slide deck could be interactive slides using Google, just the slides or like a PowerPoint style layout. On slide 2, it could be, and let's pretend we're using it, but the history of, I don't know, amusement parks in the United States because it fits with the boardwalk theme. On the second slide, it could be, here is an embedded video of Coney Island from 1920. I want you to watch this short embedded video from YouTube, and then here in the space to the right of that, which has already been prepared by the teacher, write down 5 facts you notice about this embedded video from Coney Island. On your mark, get set, go. Students click the video right there on the left, watch the video, which is embedded, and then on the right-hand side, they say, oh, here's 5 things I noticed. There's a main thoroughfare, there's ticket takers at the end, there's, you know, a midway or attractions or whatever it looks like. And just writing down their notes right there inside of the Google slide. So that each student, right, is given their own set, his or her own set, or their own set of this deck of Google Slides, and either through your Google Classroom or through your own LMS, you posted the template for everybody and said, hey guys, download a copy of this, make your edits directly into your copy of it, and send it back to me. So now slide 1 will walk them through the whole list of all the tasks they have to do. And then slide 2 is, next to this video, as if you had stopped on the boardwalk to watch this sort of attraction, go ahead on the right-hand side and write down 5 things you noticed, so you don't have to chase it down in 5 different places. That saves you so much time. Then on that second slide or that third slide, maybe it's the light blues. I don't know, the light blues, like I think Connecticut Avenue is a light blue. It's been a minute since I played Monopoly. Maybe it says the history of the boardwalks also has a lot of like artwork, you know, these ideas of the strong man or the Ferris wheel or the midway or the carnival rides, the Barkers. The idea of impressive artwork is a big thing that helps sell properties, even these small ones like Connecticut Avenue that not a lot of people would care about. Your task for this slide is to use this space here to the right and draw your own picture of what do you think an amusement park should look like or contain. Make a sketch note of it and label each of the elements of your big poster as if you were trying to get people to come see the big top circus there on your thing. Students can then hand draw that. And when they're done hand drawing it, they take a picture with their phone and embed that video or that photo right there into the slide deck itself. So it becomes like an interactive folder that each new slide works like a new deliverable. Now, if you have 8 colored properties through the course of the board, then you have 8 different slides students would submit. So maybe on page 1, they watch a video and they take notes. On slide 2, they, you know, make their own propaganda style poster of what makes a good boardwalk. On the third one, maybe it's a link to a quizzes. On the fourth one, it could be a sorting puzzle. Hey, here's a bunch of words that are related to carnivals. Here's a bunch of words that are related to amusement parks. Sort them with a click and drag, because you can do that in a Google slide, to where you think they go. Do they go to the left or to the right or to the top or to the bottom? And really what you're doing is building in some sort of formative assessment, but it feels like a mini game, almost like you're working in a carnival or, you know, down the boardwalk midway, they throw the bottles or the balls and knock the bottles off at the top. Or the skee ball, or, you know, the thing where you try to fool the guesser or guess the right weight. That there's each of these little, I don't know, like little dinky shops along the way But you start to feel that mounting sense of mastery where, hey, I've completed slide one, slide two, slide three, slide four, and you can see yourself inching towards the end. What's beautiful about it, what's very zen about it, it's thematically consistent because the background is the same through all of them. You know, hurry, hurry, get your tickets here, boardwalk style, right? You get those 19-teens, 1920s, those great pictures from Atlantic City. And through this thematic cohesion of telling the story of the boardwalk, maybe slide one is, you know, can you fool the guesser, right? Slide number two is see the strong man at the carnival. Or like slide number three is see the flying horses, the diving horses, you know, which is a thing at Coney Island, this big thing that they used to do where they would just take the horses 40 feet in the air and jump them into pools of water. Like, they can learn about all of these things that are related to or endemic of the culture of this thing that you're researching. And each slide is collecting all of the work in a one-stop shop. So by the end of the week, a child or a student will have 8 or 10 slides completed. The board was laid out there on the first one. That theming is consistent throughout. And each of their linked deliverables, it's like a blown-up version of, congratulations, you've landed on Waterworks. On the Waterworks page, you have to watch this Ed puzzle about the history of whatever your thing is. And very quickly, I've used Monopoly as our example, but you take Monopoly and swap that out, and you can do it with Clue, right? And then suddenly it's exploring each new room. In the billiard room, you have to learn about the history of X. In the parlor, you have to learn about the history of Y. When you're in the study, you have to learn about the history of Z. And they're micro tasks, but it feels like more what students have grown up with. Again, that board game, the collecting, the checking the rooms, and through the language that they're already familiar with, we're able to get them to do a ton of content. Because very quickly, you can turn a literature unit into a study of, can you explore these 8 rooms in the Clue Mansion, right? Or you can do a children's unit, which is basics about colors and facts and shapes and matching, like it was Candyland. While you meet, you know, Grandma Nut at location 1, Princess Frostine at location 2, and Lord Licorice at location 3, there's a picture of who that person is, and the challenge is right there next to it, side by each. So they're feeling comfortable curating a digital portfolio, and by the end of the week, yeah, we only have one thing to collect from each kid. Just email me back in your finished version of what it looks like. Anyways, really cool. Encourage you to check out these digital interactive packets. Like I said, Amanda Sandoval has some great examples. I have some on my website too. Feel free to check them out under that tab for distance learning. I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. We'll finish up tomorrow with some fast ways to give feedback as we finish up this week about distance learning and changing the game in this binge learn model. I want to say thanks again for tuning in. God bless you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Stay home. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you. Let's hit up on Twitter, MeehanEDU. I'll see you back here for one more tomorrow. Thanks again.